and welcome to St. Columba's on this day of Pentecost. It is a very great personal joy to welcome Bishop Patrick Rook from my home diocese of Tuam, Killala and Achonry, together with his wife Alison and daughter Susanna, to our parish on this very significant day. You are most welcome. And also an opportunity for me to convey to you, Bishop, my very grateful thanks for all of your support to my family over a difficult period of time, to which we in the rectory are most grateful. On this day, we are also celebrating our patron saint, Columba, as we reflect on his life and ministry, and all focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit. After the service, you are warmly invited to have refreshments at the West End. And we begin on page 201. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace be to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty Father,
day of Pentecost. Almighty God, who on the day of Pentecost sent your Holy Spirit to the apostles with the wind from heaven and in tongues of flame, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel, by the power of the same Spirit, strengthen us to witness to your truth and to draw everyone to the fire of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And the collect for St. Columba. O God, you called your servant Columba from among the princes of this land to be a herald and evangelist of your kingdom. Grant that your church, remembering his faith and courage, may so proclaim the splendor of your grace that people everywhere will come to know your Son as their Savior and serve him as their King, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
As Paul urges the Roman Christians to mutual respect and unity, he directs them to give close attention to the Scriptures, where instruction and encouragement will be found. The epistle is from Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Spoke of his own suffering as being his glorification, but most people did not understand him. Those who do walk the way of the cross with him will share his light and become children of the light. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and for those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honour." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
A verse from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 15. "I sat where they sat, and remained there among them 7 days." It is a particular pleasure to be with you for the celebration of your patronal festival on this Sunday prior to St. Columba's Day. A pleasure to have been invited by the rector, with whom we have had a close association over recent years. A pleasure to team up again with Dr. Joe McKee and experience his sense of fun and his expertise in bringing the best out of any choir with which he is associated. And Joe, you've got them whipped into shape. A pleasure to see for myself this beautiful church, of which I have heard so much but never actually visited, although my wife has stood here in this pulpit in the past, and a pleasure to celebrate with you the birthday of the church on this Whit Sunday. A patronal festival is always a special occasion, and in the 6th century St. Columba, you have a Christian pioneer whose steadfastness and encouragement, two words from our epistle reading, seemed to know no bounds. Why, at the age of 42, he chose to leave Ireland with a team of 12 and head for the isolated Isle of Iona is a matter for speculation. Some say it was a form of penitence. Others, that he was consumed by such a sense of missionary zeal, he was not content to stop with founding a few monasteries in his native land. Such a desire to spread God's love for all being highly laudable. Indeed, I hadn't realized until I read it recently in the Church of Ireland Gazette that his final words were words of real reconciliation: preserve with each other sincere charity and peace. Which brings me back to the verse with which I began. "I sat where they sat and remained there among them 7 days." the prophet Ezekiel had become angry when he heard that the people of Israel, who had been carried away captive, had forsaken the worship of their God. So he decided to go to them and denounce them. But when he received a vision from God commanding him to go and live with the people before he condemned them, I sat where they sat and remained there among them 7 days. That experience changed him. He was astonished, overwhelmed, stunned. The hot words of denunciation were never uttered, for he now realized the trials and the tribulations which exiles faced, so that instead of denunciation, there was understanding. Instead of anger, there was love. And if we too are to understand people, love them, and be reconciled with them, we must learn to sit where they sit. We must share their difficulties and problems, their joys and successes. That's what Columba did, for whatever reason, all those years ago, and he never returned home. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, which was read as our epistle reading, puts it like this: each of us must please our neighbours for the good purpose of building up our neighbour. Seeing from the other's perspective, that's what we need to do. In our own society, the truth is that those who seem most demanding or aggressive or cynical or unfriendly or bad-tempered, those most in need of the gospel and our missionary zeal, may be carrying untold burdens. That politician or the boss at work, irritable, sniping, suspecting, may have other things on his mind of which we know nothing. Or perhaps he is insecure for some other reason, and everyone round him has to bear the brunt. I remember when thinking when living in Northern Ireland at the height of the Troubles, that if our critics came among us and sat where we were sitting, they would have a more enlightened understanding of the task of reconciling the division in our divided community. I don't need to remind any of you that we are currently living through turbulent times. Here in Northern Ireland, there is political deadlock, mistrust of politicians and the structures they serve is rife. Trumpism and Brexit present a real challenge, as does the mass movement of people from the Middle East. Last night's attack on London Bridge was the latest in a series of terrorist killings. Homelessness, hospital waiting lists, austerity, and economic instability are among our many concerns north and south of the border. All of this too is mirrored in the church, with the fear of decline, the challenge presented by secularism, division over gay marriage, and of course general apathy, so that we wonder what kind of church we will be in 10, 20 years' time. So how do we respond? First, it's important to acknowledge we wouldn't be human if we weren't shaken by these fightings and fears within, without. We are living in times when people of faith have to hope against hope in order to keep hope alive. I see that as a central task of the church today, when good people find their spirits crushed by events spinning out of their control and succumb to resignation, despondency, and even despair. We need to address how we should contemplate a world in which the lights seem to be going out in so many places. In turbulent times, too often we seek security in some familiar status quo. We go on the offensive, but this is more reactive than responsive. And reaction is driven not by an open, unafraid engagement, but by panic, anxiety, and fear. To apply this to the church we serve, reaction seems to characterize the rhetoric we hear from some church leaders who are unwilling to ask the very simple question, where is God in the turbulence itself? Where do we glimpse his presence and hear his voice, even in our institutional decline? And what might this point to in the reshaping of our life together? We need to go back again and again to the question, what is God doing in the storm and stress? As Elijah reminds us, we need to be as present to the earthquake, wind, and fire as the still, small voice. In the desert tradition that owes so much to Elijah, discernment is one of the spiritual gifts most to be coveted. At its heart lie the twin tasks of listening and interpreting. How do we discern God's activity so that we can join in, whether it's among the poorest of our world or in the theatres of conflict, where the pity of war draws out our empathy both with those who suffer and those who serve, or near a home where we want to bear good witness to the gospel in our cities and countryside, suburbs and estates? Perhaps this can best be done by learning to sit still and reflect on how we sustain the life of the Spirit. And in so doing, I think we'll find that in the footsteps of Columba and Ezekiel, we need to move out beyond our comfort zones, to sit where others sit, that we may see more clearly. At present, one of the strongest complaints is that ordinary people are not being listened to. You've got it all wrong, they say. You don't listen to the voices of the people on the ground, the local, and often the least privileged. In the church, too, we often don't hear what context is telling us, let alone bother with the hard work of interpreting it to the biblical text and the text to it. We haven't learnt how to sing the Lord's song in a strange land, and we don't trust the Holy Spirit to nurture and grow disciples. If we did, how different the church would look. So before I conclude, let me leave you with two words: friendship and wisdom. I heard them recently described as the most precious fruits of civilization, and I'd like to commend them to you as a model for your Christian witness, the wise friend. In our turbulent world, may we enable others to see Jesus by our openness to God and to one another. In the words of Columba, preserve with each other sincere charity and peace. Consider then who you need to sit with and befriend. Perhaps the hungry, the poor, the homeless, or the migrants and refugees, those who don't enjoy all that you enjoy. Or even those who, for whatever reason, make your life uncomfortable. Sit where others sit, and do it because that's what Jesus did in the Incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He sat where we sit. That was the only way he could pass through the same valley of doubt and misunderstanding and conflict, suffering as we suffer. When we look at our Lord in the Gospels, we see God coming down to dwell among us. What a wonderful gospel it is. He came and walked among men and women like you and like me. He knows and he understands you as he knows and understands me. And he says clearly, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all might, majesty, dominion, and due this day and forevermore.
Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray.
Today, on this day of Pentecost, we will be using the second form of intercessions, which can be found on page 238 of the Book of Common Prayer, or on page 151 of the large print edition. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Anglican Church in Kolhapur in India. Renew the life of this diocese of Down and Vermore. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for Bangor Parish Church and their rector, the Reverend Nigel Parker, and for all who live and work within the parish. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter are assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader. And we give thanks for their leadership, ministry, and pastoral care in our parish. This morning, we welcome Bishop Patrick Rook to our parish and give thanks for the friendship and support, both past and present, that he has given to our rector's family in his diocese. During this patronal week, we remember the life, witness, and courage of Columba. Bless all in our parish at St. Columba's and build us up in faith and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, look with favour upon the world you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace. And bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. We pray for peace in our own country and throughout the world. Guide the leaders of all nations, that justice may prevail throughout the world. We pray for an end to fear, for comfort and support to those who suffer, for calm in our streets and cities, that people may go about their lives in safety and peace. In the wake of last night's terror attack in London, we pray for all the bereaved, the injured, and their friends and families. Following the bombing in Manchester, we also pray for the bereaved, the injured, and all who were affected in any way. We give thanks for the additional work of the emergency, security, and support services, many of whom place the public safety before their own. At this time, let us also pray for the Coptic Christian people after further reported massacres in Egypt. These people have become targets, and we pray for the families who have been bereaved and for those injured. We pray for recovery of the injured. We also remember in our prayers all those who attend to the medical and welfare needs. We pray this in the name of the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. In our parish, we pray for those who are planning holidays and those participating in sporting activities over the summer months. Protect all those involved and all who travel. Bless all relationships in this parish and community as together we strengthen our connections with each other and with our church. Encourage us to respond correctly and wisely to changes around us, but to retain the gospel of truth and love. We pray that you will sustain the faith and hope of those who are bereaved, separated, lonely, confused, or anxious, and those having uncertainty in their lives. We give thanks for families and friends and colleagues for the support and love shown to each other at home, at school, and at work. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends, and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, Relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Be with those who have any special need. We pray for all known to us who are ill at home or in hospital, and all those receiving treatment in outpatient clinics. Support and comfort all who are waiting for results of medical tests and treatment plans, and all those who are recovering from surgery or treatment, and deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of eternity, we remember all who have influenced our lives and previous generations. Bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Oh,
Jesus Christ, our risen High Priest, make yourself known in the breaking of bread. Amen. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
Turning to page 216, we use the third Eucharistic prayer.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you the sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
Let us pray. Faithful God, who fulfill the promises of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of life eternal, open our lips by your Spirit, that every tongue may tell of your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.
God, who in the days of old gave to this land the benediction of his holy church, fill you with his grace to walk faithfully in the steps of the saints and to bring forth fruit to his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Come to the dismissal. It is a very great delight and privilege on behalf of all of us in St. Columba's to convey our congratulations to Jeff and Eleanor Launchbury on this, the day of their Ruby wedding anniversary. And we do wish you every blessing on this wonderful day of memory and of celebration as your family are with you to share in the happiness of the occasion. And let's show our congratulations the normal way. Refreshments at the West End, I do hope that you can wait to enjoy those and the fellowship and the conversation. Go in the peace of the risen Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.